Billy, sweet Billy boy. Hey, do you know if you've been blocked on Twitter? But
I
like, you don't
have.
know. So you've been blocked.
I have.
Not this probably new profile, the Billy Yee, because probably people are still gathering ways to find you, but
I've been blocked by one person on Billy Yee.
really?
I definitely won, yeah.
Definitely one. So I today found out, I'm very surprised at the amount. Like I knew, oddly enough, JBL blocked me. But that might have been from like a long time ago. Maybe I tweeted something.
Margo.
Yeah, I'm not usually a very like offensive tweeter. I'm
No.
not like a troll like somebody else on the show. But I was surprised. But today I stumbled upon some people I saw commenting on other things, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, who is that? And then I click on him and it says you have been blocked. And like three people today in this like somewhat quasi wrestling community, not the jobber knockers, anybody there, but like just straight up blocked me. I'm like, why? And I don't know, kind of oddly, like I'm very not a, like offended by things, but I was kind of like, whoa, like the hell made me get blocked by these people?
No, I mean, some people just don't like you. I think most
Yeah.
of our friends would say they don't like you. That's probably lovingly. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I was blocked by one Chad Finn because I think that guy's reporting is.
Wait, you're blocked by Chad Finn?
Yeah, I said one
What?
bad thing about something that he said, and I guess he's a little bit sensitive
Oh my
because
God.
he
Absolutely.
blocked me immediately because people every once in a while will send me, "Hey, did you see this about your old work?" I'm like, "Nah, I can't see it. Guy blocked me." But he doesn't have Billy Yee blocked, so.
I'm surprised by it. Like he is like a top five, but I get like some people, if you people are just getting harassed, like very famous people, if they're just getting harassed, like nah, you don't need that in your life.
No.
But like Chad Finn, what did you say? Like, oh dude, get your facts straight or something? Like
Probably something to that effect, yeah.
now here's the turn of it. Adam Kaufman, quote unquote friend of the show, once helped us with one list, or frenemy of the show, said he wants to know a list of the people that block him. Would you really want that in your life? Like people, would you want a list of the people that blatantly don't want you to see you or want them you to see their stuff?
No, but I can see why Kaufman would, because Kaufman wants to know everything about everything at all times.
Yeah, it just feels like I bet you if it would he probably I think he has a good amount of Twitter followers. Like what does he have? Like somewhere in the I don't want to say a number because I don't have it accurate to him. He's gonna be
Too
mad.
many. He's got
Yeah.
too many for what
All
he
right,
does.
whatever he has for followers, I would imagine every single one of those people probably blocked him.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
Pop culture.
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted. Ooh.
To the pop culture pile driver, get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can be followed along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. Not sure about LinkedIn, but I don't know if that's a social media platform. Anywho, this here show, the pop culture pile driver, can be followed on Twitter at pop culture PD. No, we are not the police, but if you do smash that follow button, it will instantly make you unblocked. That's right, unblocked. And speaking about someone that's unblocked, cocked and ready to unload. He is my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed across some social media platforms at Billy D 2411 on Twitter. The bad boy of Twitter gets booted off for booty, 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 rocking everywhere. He is at Billy Yee 2411, and he has his OnlyFans talk about uncocked, rocked, and ready to unload. You can check that out over on OnlyFans. Search Billy Yee 2411 and use the promo code What's Under Billy's Tree. It's a long promo code, but you'll find out what's under it, and you'll find out what's under his underpants. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello, that was probably one of your best OnlyFans gags. I like that one.
Finally hit one now, well, it's in honor of the man today, maybe the greatest mic man to ever do it.
Yeah, I put him up there. Definitely for goofy promos and putting himself over 100%.
Oh yeah, to bury other talent, but we can tell you right now that we are downloading. We are going to be counting down the top 11 Rock promos in honor of The Rock's 25th anniversary. In weird to say this, never a WCW guy, so technically in WWE-WWF.
Yeah, and he had a couple of runs. His first one probably the most prolific, when went for a while, then he went away to do movies, came back, headlined WrestleMania 2 years in a row with the same guy. But, I mean, is he the great one? I put him on my Mount Rushmore, but I don't know if he's the greatest of all time.
See, I don't even know if he'd be – Mount Rushmore talk, we've done it in the past. You can go back in our archives. We've done the women's, we've done the men's, but I think we put – I think you had
Hulk, Stone
– yeah,
go ahead. Rock, Stone Cold, John Cena. That, to me, is the list.
That's – it's hard not to, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but we debated this a long time ago. I think I had Vince McMahon on mine.
Which I could totally get on board with. I would say he's the guy who carved it.
Yeah. He's up there just etching it all in stone. And obviously I'd want to put Bret Hart on there, but listen, as much as he's in my heart, he's not a top four. But with all that being said, Bill, like, yeah, when you think about The Rock, like we said, 25 years, debuted at Survivor Series 1996. Very first match, just a couple hype promos, like one of the oddest kind of ways to debut, but also for that time period, fitting.
Terrible hair.
The Chia Pet hair, dude. It's silly looking. We can tell you that there was none of those early Dwayne, what was he known at the time? It was Rocky Maivia. No Rocky Maivia promos on here. It was like the early, maybe one technically he might have still been known as Rocky Maivia.
Yes.
But he slowly was carving his way into The Rock, who is right now, by the way, still very strange to think, not only the biggest actor in the world with box office, money he makes, but Bill, he's also like one of the maybe the biggest social media influencer out there.
He's like, up there in followers. I don't know where he ranks amongst the athletes. Like, I don't know if he has more than like Ronaldo.
No, Ronaldo's still number one. I've recently looked at that.
But he's up there. I mean, he's probably right there with LeBron James. So he's one of the most influential people in the world. You know, there's talks of him legitimately running for president. And I mean, he's recognizable. He's the highest paid guy in Hollywood a few years running. I don't know if he still got it last year because last year was a bit of an odd year. But I mean, this guy is like the standard bearer for action heroes. He's the new Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, maybe I'm crazy. This could be this could go either way. I think he's bigger than Arnold ever was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, Arnold was up there and Arnold was huge. And he was kind of a little bit like The Rock. He was a bodybuilder, famous for that. Then kind of went to the acting and then became the freaking governor. So, I mean, The Rock's on the right trajectory. He's going to go a little bit bigger each time. He went professional wrestling, bigger. He went to be the biggest movie star of the time. And now he's going to skip over being a governor and go straight to being the president. So, I mean, it is kind of the same trajectory. I'm fine with it. I mean, we've seen some presidents in our day already, so I'm cool with it. I don't care. And you know what? It would just be one of those feathers in our cap. We're like, yeah, it's a professional wrestler in there, buddy.
Hey, one thing Arnold Schwarzenegger has over The Rock, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a WWE Hall of Famer. The Rock, not.
I thought he was. I thought he got inducted in like 2016 or something.
No, not yet. He inducted somebody, I think you're probably thinking of.
But
yet.
Well, I mean, he's a – who was the first ever – was it Jeter Andre. Or Rivera? No, I mean, to be like the actual first unanimous, like he is like on the ballot. He's
Rivera, I believe.
Yeah, he's the first. He is easily a Hall of Famer. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been fucking, what's his name's a Hall of Famer? Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer. That is factual. Before we get thrown off of YouTube for talking too much politics, you want to talk about the Rittenhouser results?
The who now?
Okay, let's get into it, Bill. Top 11 Rock promos.
Wait a second. I got this.
Wait a second. Where's Mr. Perfect?
Did he make the list?
What? We have the top 11 now.
Uno, dos, tres, catorce.
It's not 10. He's going to 11.
One less than a real dozen, and it's two less than a baker's dozen. We have the podcaster's dozen.
Oh, whoops. Might have made a mistake there.
Yeah, a little production.
Oh my! First of all, it's amazing, and I think we've used that once before, and it gets me every time. Just that, can we play just the open and then shut it off? Right? I think we can.
I don't know if you can.
We're gonna try it, Bill. We're gonna try it.
Wait a second. Where's Mr. Perfect?
Did he make the list? Every time the way I've listened to that podcast again, because there's sometimes people tweet out like greatest intercontinental champions, and I'll subtweet that old show, and we get some nice little perks and listens. Big in India, by the way. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Pop Culture Pile Driver wherever you listen to podcasts, or tell a friend, be a friend, leave a 5-star review. Also, you can tell Alexa, hey, Alexa, listen to Pop Culture Pile Driver, and she will. But every time I hear that episode, it really does give me chills, because I thought I was so right. Like, I thought it was so right. Recently, we did it again with Triple H in the I don't remember what the topic of it was now.
Greatest wrestling returns.
Yeah, like an idiot. Like, I literally, like, math.
And you're the guy who does the math for the DSG. There's probably a movie we left off of.
I'm really good at math. The problem is I'm really stupid with observations. So, yeah, probably, yeah. Like, the best Christmas movies of all time, like Jingle All the Way, probably should have been number one. Speaking about Arnold, that's what Rock needs. We need The Rock to get a good Christmas movie. That's the one thing that he's lacking in the portfolio.
I mean, that would be perfect for him to do a Christmas movie.
Oh, absolutely. I want him to play Goldberg did the jacked up Santa.
No, thing. I want him to be the Tim Allen dad.
Okay. So like a dad, he could do it. We'll talk.
Oh, easy.
He could do anything. The man could play a child right now for all I know. All right, Bill. So let's kick it off. What is number 11?
All right. So number 11 here is The Rock rips Triple H, kind of a tease ahead to some other promos of him doing impressions, but, this is just a taste. It's a little chewy, like Chewbacca, a little constipated, but damn if this thing isn't funny.
Tonight,
oh no!
I am the game. You absolutely suck!
So it goes on and on and on and on, and he just absolutely tears into him. I'm the game.
First of all, great production value on this. If you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're watching this through the Twitter feed, you actually are visually seeing these promos, and obviously audio, you can hear everything. The thing about that one is that was like the perfect time. First, if you did see it, Stephanie McMahon cracks. She's smiling. She's laughing because she thinks it's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Second of all, that is vintage Rock, because Triple H and him just had such a good yin and yang to each other. And this one to me is so great, because that was during the era of the McMahon-Helmsley era, where Triple H would start every Raw about 10, 15, 20 minutes of him just talking and drowning on about things. A lot of great heat, but The Rock, this is the first time someone really called it out from an on-screen perspective.
It's just so good. And as you say, Stephanie's breaking. Triple H even cracks a smile. He does a couple of really good. And I'm the game. And I'm going to go on and on. And if I see another DX promo. And by the way, Stephanie in this?
Yeah. This is prime.
Prime McMahon-Helmsley era. But okay. I mean, this is just what The Rock does so well, is he captivates the crowd. And there's a lot of, in all of these, we didn't include it because it's probably going to be bad podcasting, where he'll just stop and the crowd will just go nuts, or they'll start chanting, Rocky, Rocky. Like, he literally has them eating out of the palm of his goddamn hand every single time.
Yeah, and before we get to 10, that is the one thing about The Rock that is hard for me to really allow myself to not like. And he also played it both ways, and we'll get to that as we go on. But what you just mentioned, there was those early times before, I think, like right when he became a face post first title run in 99, when he would just stand in the corner of the ring. He always cut his promos for a little while in the corner of the ring, kind of on the ropes, and he would just stop, and with the smell, and then the crowd explodes into Rocky chants in like immediate. Just talk about a guy that had the whole crowd just in the palm of his hand.
I controlled it all the way. And then to number 10 here, The Rock versus Stone Cold before Survivor Series. Oh. Of course, Survivor Series big for The Rock. You were what?
I was at this promo.
It was in Boston?
This was in Boston. This is the Margaritaville, technically, it's kind of known as promo. But yeah, these two face-to-face right before the Alliance versus, like, with the WWE in hand. Is it going to be WWE or the Alliance, which was the weird invasion angle? This was the end. This is the last Raw before the end of the invasion angle.
Huh? So it's a pretty serious moment. It's a long, kind of tenuous promo. Yeah. And at this point, The Rock was able to cut the tension right here.
We've been this close for 5 minutes, and The Rock can honestly say, for some particular reason, your breath smells like
It's just like a nice little, like, you know, going back and forth, and you know, your breath smells like shit.
It's that is perfect rock. And by the way, I mean, visually, just sweating bullets. He is, not us. I will say that that is also a very, very fitting ending to that promo, because that is where The Rock at the very end says, like, they do this like Margaritaville thing. They have a drink and he looks at Stone Cold and says, The Rock will never, ever forget. Hits him with the rock bottom, alluding to their match earlier in the year, WrestleMania 17, where Stone Cold turned heel to become the champion, aligning himself with Vince McMahon. Good storytelling weaved into two of the best at their best in 2001.
Yeah, the height of their powers, just absolute, you know, like I have them literally on booking, like in the middle, they're the cream in my Oreo Mount Rushmore, bookended by Hulk Hogan and John Cena, just because I think they're the flag bearers. And like those two, you know, Cena and Rock, you know, danced once or twice. But like those two, to me, are two of the biggest stars ever. And they, you know, they crossed and probably had the biggest feuds.
Yeah, it's weird. Looking at just your Mount Rushmore quickly, then we'll get to nine. Rock has faced Cena. Rock has faced Stone Cold. Rock has faced Hogan.
Oh, my God.
None of the other three have been in a match.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, the only, like, Stone Cold was in a match against Hogan, but it was a tag match. Stone Cold was in that WrestleMania 30 opening, which is iconic, with Hogan. But The Rock was also included. So, yeah, The Rock is really, he over the span of time, has been, like, a highlight reel for major moments.
All right, and then this one is probably one of the greatest segments in wrestling history, one of the most memorable, and at the time, I believe it was the highest rated, taking over for when Pat Patterson and Briscoe fought in, like, underwear or something.
Yes, which is one of the – they fought the Mean Tree Posse.
Oh, shout out
Greenwich, Connecticut. It was the Mean Tree Posse versus Patterson and Briscoe was the highest rated Raw, like, end segment, technically. There's a lot of weird stories in this. But this, to this day, is – debated, but it's one of the highest. At one point, like, it peaked in like the eights.
Oh, unreal. I mean, it is The Rock. This is Your Life. He runs down his, you know, elementary school teacher, his coach, but he relives a moment with his high school sweetheart. And you know me, I love pie. You love pie. The dork boys love hair pie. The Rock loves pie, but you know he does what he doesn't love is getting cut off on second base, and he lets his ex know about it.
The Rock just has one thing to say to you. Poontang your ass on out of here.
There is not a time when that line is spoken that I have to, and I know I've told this story on here before, and I'll say it every year around this time. Me and my buddy Pat, it was Thanksgiving, was obviously always on a Thursday. SmackDown was on a Thursday on this, whatever it was, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Let's just say probably like 2000, we'll just use that year. And The Rock was on there cutting his, I don't even know how bad of it. I don't, obviously alluding, but like Poontang pie. That's all he was talking about. I had no idea what this was. At the time, the things I could cook well was Jell-O or Jell-O pudding. So I was making Bill Cosby.
Jigglers? Making the jigglers?
No, I was making a jiggle, baby. And we made this like Jell-O pudding pie. It was a chocolate Jell-O pudding pie. Poured the whipped cream on it, and we were joking. This was at like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. We'd watched last night's SmackDown the day after. It was a holiday weekend. And I remember the whole time we're just going, oh, I'm going to eat that Poontang pie. We have to wait to noon to have that Poontang pie. We just kept talking to each other like idiot kids. And then my dad came home. And I'll never forget. I said, Dad, do you want a slice of this Poontang pie?
Did he know what it was?
The man, me and my dad are very close. But we've never.
I know your dad, yeah.
Yeah, we've never delved into this type of conversation stuff. He grabbed me, said, hey, come over here. I said, yeah, hey, what's going on? I'm laughing because obviously my buddy Pat's over with, you know, when you have friends over, goofy. He brings over, he sits me down on the couch and says, don't ever say that again. Don't repeat that towards your mother or your sisters. And I don't want that word ever coming out of your mouth again. And I literally looked at him and I was so stunned, Billy. I was so stunned because I'm like, what am I saying? There's two times that's happened in my life. Poontang pie and the phrase nymphomaniac. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what that was. It was in a Snoop Dogg song when we were kids. And I remember my sister actually said something to me about that one, said, shouldn't be saying that.
No. So, and
maybe you all enjoy your Poontang pie, though, is my number one pie for Thanksgiving night.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
chocolate pudding pie. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the dork boys' hairs, ours is Poontang. It's fitting. But I mean, this is like the height of the Rock and Sock connection. This is everything about this. And it went on too long, and people were pissed at the time.
And then, yeah, cut off like three other matches.
Yeah, who cares though? Like, this is one of those things when it's going well, it's going well. And there was so many great lines. And if you didn't say one of the lines, especially Poontang Pai the next day in school, like, this one was when wrestling was cool to watch. Like, the cool kids watched wrestling.
Okay, we like should not have been. We were in like, so this was, I believe, was 1999.
So yeah, so I was eighth or ninth.
Eighth grade. We were in eighth grade, depending on, yeah, the time of year. I believe this was before the summer. But anyways, mm-hmm. like, we were in eighth going into ninth grade. This was like literally for 24-year-old, 25-year-old, 28-year-olds. Like, mm-hmm. this type of comedy. But it was, listen, this was just insane because every segment had something. And this is where I personally always will side a little bit with the Vince Russo side of booking. Give everybody something because it makes it more interesting instead of just occasionally just having everybody be like burnouts or like, yeah, that guy's, we're just going to bump him down the card.
No, this was phenomenal. And we'll move on to number eight here. A little more serious of a promo, the Die Rocky Die promo with the Nation of Domination. And he talks about, you know, people saying Die Rocky Die and has a response to people chanting Rocky Sucks.
Well, Rocky might be is a lot of things, but Sucks isn't one of them. The new Nation of Domination lives, breathes, and dies respect. And we will earn respect by any means necessary.
That was it. That was the very that's the segue from Maya Villa to The Rock to the man we know today. He was, you know, injured, comes back, joins the Nation of Domination. There was all those Die Rocky Dies, Rocky Sucks chants, and he gives it back to the crowd there. And you can see, like, it's very by the books the way he starts it. But the, like, you know, The Rock does a lot of things, but Suck ain't one of them. Like, that's so, like, kind of scripted to a degree. But you can see that, like, where this guy is going to take that. And that was the beginning of what we know The Rock as today.
Yeah, and it was great. I mean, he even mentions it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. Talks about how there's other racist factions in the WWE. And factions. Like, this was the launching pad for him to be a star. Because if you have a faction, there's a de facto leader. And if you have a breakout star, he kind of creeps up on the de facto leader and it creates natural tension and a build. And I think, you know, credit Farooq and everybody else in there for helping making today's greatest star, not in wrestling, in entertainment.
Yeah.
Period.
No, 100%. And that is such an underrated part to Ron Simmons at the time. Like you mentioned, like, he was the leader of this faction. This faction was built to make him a star because he came off of that weird Farooq Asad, weird character with Sonny. God.
A blue, weird ass outfit.
Awesome. Dude looked absolutely horrendous. Like, supposed to be a gladiator thing, and why Sonny was in his corner. Everything was a little strange. And he has this amazing faction built around him. They're kicking ass, taking names. He gets a title shot at The Undertaker, and then they introduce The Rock into it. And The Rock quickly becomes a star. I kind of wish we got more out of that feud between Farooq and The Rock, but they basically like plucked Farooq right out of there, tossed him to the side. Eventually, he got together with Bradshaw and became the APA, which all worked out for him, for his longevity of his career. So, you know, this is this was the time, dude. And yeah, look at him now. All he needs to do, he looks very old, very strange, kind of looks like George Jefferson, pops up on screen, one word, money.
Dang. Yeah, he's absolute comedy gold, as they would say now. Speaking of more comedy gold, classic heel stuff here. Number seven, The Rock in Sacramento. That's almost all I need to say, but cheap heat to the extreme. And this line, well, it's a classic heel line in a enemy territory, and he knew it was going
to
kill.
Check this out.
Check it out.
But I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings and Men.
Yeah, the Rock concert. He did a couple of those. The other really famous one that almost made it was against Vicky Guerrero during his return against John Cena, and which would be 8 years ago now, which is insane. So yeah, it's just so that's wild. But that, he was fantastic. This was heel Rock, and again, smiling, having a good time. All the Rock concerts were really good, but this one specifically stood out because that crowd was booing the crap out of him.
Sacramento, I won't say. Like, he's so electric. I mean, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. And this, if you haven't ever seen it, because at this time, I was out of wrestling, and it was shortly after this promo. Everybody was like, all right, you got to, like, stop watching again. And I did, and he is just, like, the charisma, it's just, it's like the machismo out of Razor Ramon, who we'll get to in a little bit. He just, it just seeps out, it oozes out of him. He's just electric.
He's great. A lot of those Raw concerts you can go back to, but what's coming in at number six?
All right, so number six is, it's The Rock making Coach sing, and The Rock has made a lot of people do a lot of different things in backstage interviews. Some stuff, if you played today, he might get canceled for. This necessarily isn't one of them, and luckily he probably didn't write most of it. But as we always knew, music and fashion was always Coach's passion.
At the Copacabana.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich. What in the blue hell are you doing?
That, honestly, that's only a line The Rock could pull off, right? Sweet cream.
I don't even know if he pulled off the sweet cream. I do love the blue hell stuff. The sweet cream was a little bit much, but the whole thing is hilarious. And during that promo, the mic breaks, and he still handles it like a champ.
No, I love it. I completely agree with you there. Obviously, Coach was great. He always found good fodder with, like, backstage people. He did a lot of stuff with Kevin Kelly, did a lot of great stuff with Michael Cole back in the day. He always had very funny, interesting stuff with, like, a Terry or a Trish whenever they would have, like, their segments back there. Or Lillian, when he was a heel, there was a lot about the people strudel at that time. But The Rock is, he just, those moments right there, those magical moments with someone like Coach, who didn't really have an outstanding personality just based on what you saw, got sucked out of him with a guy like The Rock.
Yeah, he made him dance one time and then he kicks him off.
Oh, yeah, he moves him right off. That's where The Rock was special. And, you know, we're a little over halfway through this list in a sense that, we're going to have the top five coming up here. It's, you do see the one thing about The Rock, and we kind of teased in the beginning. He totally buries his opponent. Like, he's not a Paul Heyman build up. But it works.
Well, it does work for him. Because he buried, what's his name on his intro? Jericho. He basically, Jericho fought, I think his first match was with China. His first pay-per-view match was with China.
Oh, it was either X-Pac or China. I think he faced somebody before, but you're right. The point is, like,
he didn't face The Rock.
No, they never had a program till years later. He debuts in 1999. They don't have a match till 2001. And that is one of the weirdest. Like, that was where I miss a little bit of that in my wrestling, because everything is such a narrow road. Like, if Kevin Owens interrupts a promo by Big E, they're going to get in a match. Where back then, like, Jericho...
It wasn't straight lane booking.
Yet. No, it was like Jericho debuts in... Him and The Rock have a back and forth. The next SmackDown, Jericho's knocking down The Undertaker and Big Show. He doesn't fight any of these people. This was just like a way to, like, that was almost, like I said, that's why I still have a belief that, like, outside of the ring is bigger than inside of the ring, because that's what makes your character. You can become believable inside the ring in different ways, but.
I don't remember almost any match from these eras, but I remember it fondly.
These moments, dude, and that's what The Rock was. And The Rock was an outstanding talent, but yeah, you're not remembering that match he had against X-Pac on that random SmackDown. You're remembering the promo, though, that he cut before it.
Absolutely. And to another one where he just absolutely, him and Triple H, number five here, The Rock on Triple H, just kills him. Absolutely kills him. But in this one, Triple H gets going for a little bit, and he asks him, who does The Rock think he is? And The Rock has a pretty good answer.
Bravo Bull, great one. People's champ, N.O. To say the least, The Rock is something you're not, undisputed champion, so shut up, bitch.
That is, by the way, one of the best Twitter videos out there. It's a great, whenever you see somebody tweet something stupid or unnecessary, you see that shut up, bitch, everywhere. But that, look how quick he got through that. We can play that one more time. Listen how quick the cadence is. He knows where he wants to go, and he knows how to get there.
Bravo Bull, great one. People's champ, N.O. To say the least, The Rock is something you're not, undisputed champion, so shut up, bitch.
And also, just looking at that, and looking at all of these videos, The Rock went from the Rocky Maivia program, where he was a little doughy, kind of looking like I look without my shirt off, to being chiseled to now.
Bravo Bull! Great one! People!
To being absolutely chiseled, unreal. And in that one,
well, he's literally, I think he might be unreal, but yes.
Definitely unreal. But in that one, he's rocking like the John Lennons. Just a weird look.
The glasses, it's so weird. So he went through all the – this was during that – this is not like – I think this is 2002, so it was like right towards the latter portion of his run where he used to do like the 500 – or the 500 –
it's a joke. Yeah. $6,300 pants. Come on.
All the time. He would always have different things. He would always say like his shirts are $5,000, the glasses, and that's when he had that glasses look. This was after that. This is face rock. This is about to lose to Brock Lesnar. A rock, and it's funny because like he does look very odd in this. This is like his weird,
so different at all times.
Yeah, because his hair is always varied too. And this was towards the latter portion of the Rock hold on. If you ever watch WrestleMania 20, where he tag teams with Mick Foley one last time, it's almost like a forgotten match. But his hair is like very odd looking. That was his last match for a long time, and he just it's like just shave it, bro. And then obviously that was a famous sexy bald man. So speaking about Mount Rushmore's, Bill, what's coming in at number four?
I hate bald boys. But yeah, number four here on SmackDown, the Big Show, Undertaker, and Kane. He kind of takes them all on here in a promo. And he imagines what it would be like if they won the jackpot at a casino in Vegas, because, of course, The Rock finally came back to Vegas. And for me, it's really the Kane impression on this one that does it for me about him winning.
I won. I won. Let's party.
Just simple, straight to the point, but like his impressions are hilarious.
Those are things. Obviously, we're grabbing small clips for many different reasons, and we don't want to make this. You can watch all these promos, and we're giving you little dribs and drabs and titles. But yeah, this is The Rock. Like, he can do that. Like, he could pull that off, make it funny, and all that stuff. Like, you couldn't see even back in the day, like Stone Cold did a lot of like really like pretty good promos, but it was different. He wasn't like as funny. And his thing was about the humor.
Oh, God. He had something that ruined fucking wrestling.
That was later, but yeah, oh yeah, that's still to this day gets me. But yeah, he there right there is like that's The Rock at his finest, like you said, and he's cutting down The Undertaker, The Big Show, all these guys, and just puts his he does the whole voice boxing, which that was a whole part of Kane's character that just disappeared one day.
Yep, and a guy who disappeared maybe because of this promo. He basically buried him, and it's one of the greatest promos of all time. That's why it's number three on our list. But it's The Rock v. Billy Gunn, and I always use this for stuff for me, and I used it in the video I made for this just because I love it, because it's my name, and the way he says it is hilarious. But he does an impression of him praying to God, and it sounds a little something like this.
Oh, dear God. You see, my name's Billy. And I just won King of the Ring, but there's one problem. Everybody still thinks that I absolutely suck.
Literally death by like DOA on that Billy Gunn push. The poor guy. They put him in a program with The Rock, which is so hard for anybody who's making the rise.
Oh, you can't.
You need to beat him. First of all, if you're gonna get in a promo with
we're gonna go one on one with the great one.
Yeah, you have to beat him. Like the only way to ever get over on The Rock is The Rock's gonna bury you in promos right there. And obviously, there's been so many stories about asthma with Billy Gunn. He couldn't go in the ring. That's why he was in tag teams. He was such a specialist. Well, that's all a bunch of bullcrap. You can make shorter matches. This was the era of like 6 minute matches. Oh. But again, The Rock absolutely decimates him. And that right there is the simplicity, yet the perfection of what The Rock is in his promos. And that is right. Like these top three, you could juggle them up and spit them out in any way. I loved what he did with Billy Gunn. Cause when people tell me Billy, there's two that come to mind. Obviously one of the next two is going to be the other. And then the other one I just remembered. And
I loved it. I agree. And shout out to two people here. One, our guy Nestle from the Jobba Knocker, Take a Drink, because he was the first person to me to bring up the fact that The Rock just flat out buries dudes.
Yeah.
Just puts him in a grave and shovels like he's Charlotte right on top of him. Just absolutely bodies him. I mean, he would lose. He had a lot of title runs, so he would give up the title. But I kind of don't blame him because it's like I'm really good on the mic. So you and this was the era where it's like, all right, see what you got, kid. Like, it wasn't
a
ton of scripting. So he was going out there and he was being himself.
No, he was absolutely laying in. And you know what? At the end of the day, it also helped, though, because I remember Billy Gunn, obviously Mr. Ass. There's a lot of things that are famous about him in my eyes as a wrestling fan. But this is up there because, like, the way The Rock spoke about him just kills him in this promo. This is also right at the era of the what's your name, it doesn't matter what your name is, that all that. And obviously, we didn't even go catchphrase. These are promos. Catchphrases alone. The Rock has a ton. The Rock
has a million. He's right there. It's probably him and Jericho for like making a mint on just selling catchphrases.
Silly, but all right. So now let's get into our top two here, Bill. What came in at number two?
All right, numero dos, The Rock meeting the NWO and No Way Out. This is absolute gold, and I'll give you a little snippet here. He's already told Razor Ramon to shine it up real nice. Then he tells Big Daddy Cool, meh, meh, which to me,
oh, so good.
And I used it in my thing. And if anybody can help me out. So Botchamania does the endings where they do it to, like, she drives me crazy. Meh, meh. There's a song that they do, and all I can remember is, like, there's trains going on in the music video, and then they cut to him. It's like a 90s alternative song, and I can't, like, every time I hum it to somebody, I just sound like an idiot, like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I've watched a million Botchamanias, and I can't find the one it was on.
Okay, so it's not Runaway Train by Soul Asylum.
No. It doesn't have anything to do with a train. There's just a train in the music video. If anyone can help me out, I'm dying.
Give us that hum one more time, even if you think you sound stupid. Okay, all right. Let me ponder on that. But I'm guessing he's talking to Hogan here.
All right, yeah, he's talking to Hogan, and he's already given him a little preview of what to do with the picture. That's the other thing here is. They see the NWO, a little bit older, they're coming back here. Rock meets him for the first time. They ask for a picture for his son because The Rock's his favorite wrestler, and then kind of gives him an instructional video of what to do with that photo.
Hogan, you take that camera. It's already shined up. Turn sideways, eat your vitamins, say your prayers, and stick it straight up all your candy asses!
And wait, it's quick. This thing, top to tails, is like 60 seconds.
If that. And that, this is, again, why I love this time a little bit, because just some small interaction like that, The Rock's gag at this point. This is a month before WrestleMania 18. I believe The Rock would have just... Who would he have fought at that pay-per-view? Oh, boy, if my memory could ever serve me. I believe it was Stone Cold who faced Jericho for the title. So The Rock wouldn't have been in the title match. He wouldn't have faced Triple H because he was a face. I don't know. But maybe it was another Rikishi thing for fun. But this is like, this is right after the NWO's debuts. So this is the first time we've actually seen them in anything outside of just entering the ring and cutting their first promo saying they're here, they're nice guys. And the fact that he does that, he's basically talking about Nick Hogan, who killed a man.
Yeah, in a crazy-ass car accident.
Sure is. Doing all right.
But this is what the WWE does really well at time to time. When they have that big moment, when so-and-so, when Harry met Sally, when The Rock meets the NWO, it's rare that they kind of mess that moment up. And this one, I thought they hit out of the park.
No, I completely agree with you. And these are all, again, samples of these promos. We really do encourage you. Just Google the things we're saying. We're giving you a lot of the titles.
Maybe we can make a thread here with all the links. I actually deleted them all out of my list. So, I put them in the same order. Oh, this is the shout out I was going to give you. You did this list, and I got to tell you, phenomenal.
If a little background before we get to one, that I just sat and just racked my free, like all the time we do lists, I just racked the crap out of my brain because I have a odd memory with a lot of stuff, especially when we usually do our top 11s. It's usually stuff I relatively know or think.
Unless
I know
it's Mr. Perfect for in the kind
of. Well, that's just my stupidity aside. And there was just things ping, 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 ping. And then I went to my good old friend Reddit and I made a post and I said, what are the best Rock promos? And a lot of them were the ones I said. And then a couple of these other ones jumped out to me. So if anybody is on the Squared Circle subreddit that's coming across this, I'm probably going to post it in there. So hope you'll listen. I appreciate all the help, support, and thoughts and throwing out some of these promos. But the one I couldn't remember, like the Rock concert in Sacramento, that one didn't jump off. I actually went more Vicky Guerrero. Listen to both of them. That one was straight fire. That is like incredible.
Yeah, we should definitely make a thread on the tweet for this thing with all of them because they are all amazing. And he is, we left some off here. And basically, I was making the video for this for Twitter. And then you sent me that list. And then I started to go through it. And I was like, you know what? No, work's done. We got the list. A rare Rossi win. And
once in a blue moon.
Number one, no surprise to anybody. And I probably should have just let the whole thing play out. And well, this is another one. You got to listen to it from T to B, top to bottom. But the Rock pre-Armageddon promo, where he goes into Hell in a Cell for the first time ever. And he's like, you know, Hell in a Cell, penis in Uranus, I don't care what it is. And then he talks about all of the opponents he's going to face. And, you know, needs no setup, but I'll just say he starts with Kurt Angle and then goes through the rest of them. And it's fucking amazing.
I'm going to drink a big glass of milk, and then maybe I'll take three Viagra.
Oh, shut your mouth, you thong-wearing fatty. Which means, he's going to beat the game. I got to get in my pickup truck, drink some Steve Weiser's, listen to some Backstreet Boys.
So, I think in order, it was Kurt Angle, Viagra, Rikishi, thong-wearing fatty, Triple H, we already touched on, the game, and then ends it with, the one that makes no sense to me is the Stone Cold. He puts on that and goes, I'm going to get in my truck, listen to some Backstreet Boys.
But drink some Steve Weiser's, listen to some Backstreet Boys. It is great. And the only one that wasn't in that clip that is still one of the oddest members in this match, if I'm not mistaken.
Taker.
Oh, it's Taker. I always forget. Where was the random one when Bulldog was in a match? That might have been the year before.
I don't know if it was this one. I definitely don't think it was this one. I cut out Bulldog, the Undertaker one from this one, because the funniest part wasn't for audio. It was just when he, you know, does the raise up with his eyes. And that's what another reason why you got to watch it, because he just sells it. He does the people's eyebrow 90% of these too, where he just stops, looks at the camera, and flexes. This is a thing of beauty, and there's a lot of stuff in this one that would get him canceled. Lot of stuff in this one that would get him canceled. So hopefully that doesn't happen to the poor guy.
Isn't that funny. Also, doesn't he start with Kevin Kelly and call him like a hermaphrodite or something?
Yes, yes. Yeah. He references the time that he called him that.
There was earlier a promo somewhere within these or the other one. Like, he calls him that. And it's not like, he's not even saying it like, like, again, different time, we get it. But, like, yeah, it's just, like, so strange. It's so nonchalant.
Yeah, it was weird. But, I mean, this is, to me, this was the one I thought of instantly. This is the one when people, you know, are like, The Rock, what was he like in wrestling? I'm like, let me pull up the Armageddon promo here, because this is phenomenal.
Oh, and what we're talking about, that's the reason The Rock won't win as president, because some people then start pulling all these promos. But this is the mind. This is the mind that you want to be the president. That's why don't run for the president, Rock. Live the most incredible life you're living now. Be happy. Do your thing.
Because these are scrubbed from the internet. There's 12 versions of this thing.
Oh, yeah. This is very – and we are just grabbing the top 11. So there's millions.
Oh, there's way worse stuff.
Millions. Oh, yeah. But that's – The Rock is – Mount Rushmore, we've already said in wrestling, but easily also Mount Rushmore of Mike's men. Like, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
Promo artist.
Hogan isn't a top promo of all time. But I would say the other three are on my Mount Rushmore. Like, Cena's an all-time promo.
Yep.
Stone Cold's an all-time promo. Rock's an all-time promo.
Yeah. I would say, like, in my off the top of my head, again, this is just what I'm really going into. I put Rock. I put Heyman. I put Punk.
I wouldn't put Heenan. I'd put him more as a commentator.
I put Heyman.
Heenan as a commentator, not as a promo. I wasn't really around when he was cutting promos. I know he was good, but
yeah, it wasn't the same though. Like him on the mic, like the commentary. But I'm trying to think. Like I'm a huge Jericho guy, but I
don't think he's top notch though.
Yeah, it's hard. Like that fourth spot, that's where I'd probably have to think a little bit further. But like Punk is right up there because he's just always, always amazing. Cena. I think you're right. I think Cena has to.
Cena, I think, is the best of all time at promos because he does it all the time, every time, delivers, even called The Rock on writing the promos on his goddamn hand.
That's it. Because when there's a little bit of that spite in reality, those promos are always better. And obviously Cena with his freestyle raps in his early days, well, some of them are really horrible. There's a good mix of good ones.
He gets people over in his promos. He gets everyone over. Oh, he's always gotten people over.
He makes you buy. He's another one of those, like, I want to buy the pay-per-view.
Oh, you know what? I made the video and I'll knock off probably Stone Cold from my list.
Good.
Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
Macho Man is probably right there with Cena, probably better. Because his creativity in the promos. When I made that video, I watched so many Macho Man promos I'd never seen before. And every one of them was insane. Like, he is energy personified. He's kind of the antithesis of The Rock, where The Rock was always goofy, whereas he was locked in. You know, Jake the Snake is another
guy. Jake's another one. Yeah, that's another guy.
So, I mean, we could do – I don't think we've done it, but we could do the top promo guys too.
Oh, yeah. And that one's going to be tough because there's so many. But I agree with you. Macho Man is just – he had so much – like, as much people – he was stupid. Warrior is a huge promo guy to me. Like, he would just
– he was okay. He was at least intense.
Yeah. Well, that's what Macho Man was, but Macho Man also made sense in the things he said.
Like, he made sense. He was a catchphrase, a minute. He had so many props. Like, you just think about the cream one, but he brought out gorillas, trash cans. Like, he was, you know, taking Elizabeth in, bringing her out. It was like the Hokey Pokey. It was crazy.
A lot of cocaine. But that's it, man. That's The Rock. And he, you know, was celebrating 25 years. And if you did catch Survivor Series in the year of 2021, it was literally one large promotion of a man that did not show up.
Yeah, that's tough.
It was weird. Like, I've been reading all the inside scoops, we'll just say, and the little bit of people that I still know there. The Rock, I wouldn't know. Like, the people I know wouldn't know.
Zoom?
That's the thing. And that's what made it strange, right? Because you would have thought, last year they did it for The Undertaker. We actually covered it on the show. And, like, The Undertaker's weird send-off after, what was it, 20 or 30 years of The Undertaker last year. And it's like, it was just an odd thing where a bunch of wrestlers came out, then he came out, and then that was the show ending. Like, no conversation, nothing. This wasn't even, they didn't even do any of that. They were literally just like promo packages of his career, highlighting all the way. And it went from the very beginning to now. And there was Red Notice, which I believe that's a movie that's out. They talked all about that. There was a heavy promotion. There was this weird storyline with an egg that The Rock gave Vince McMahon that got stolen. So, like, The Rock's clearly going to be here. The final match was Roman versus Big E. There's these rumors of Roman versus The Rock and nothing.
I mean, that's kind of what wrestling is these days.
It's like, that's such a weird, it's okay if you don't, like, what you just said, all they needed was him to say, whoa, 25 years, whoa, 25 years. I could see him doing it, of The Rock, but I got The Rock needs to thank the WWE Universe. If it wasn't for you, The Rock wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for those things,
they literally have a show that's a catchphrase from him.
Yes. Their now flagship show is on Fox. It's called SmackDown because of him. And this man, they couldn't just get him to cut up. Like, it's, I don't know what they're like. I can't wrap my head around that. That seems so.
He owes everything to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a little, you know, I don't even think it's presumptuous to say, like, his dad was a wrestler. He wasn't able to make it as a professional football player.
Yep.
He became a wrestler and that launched his career. He's indebted to them forever.
That's when he comes back.
He
tweets so much about wrestling. Like, if you look at his Twitter, like, if somebody pulls up an old clip or if he gets complimented from a wrestler, like, he comments on that stuff.
I mean, maybe he's just got an awkward relationship with WWE that we don't know about. But, I mean, for me, for him not to be there, I didn't watch it. I watch wrestling in a minute. I got to watch that. You still need to give me the list of matches. But I need to watch that match from whatever the hell it was.
Full Gear.
Yeah.
I'll give you a match from this one. Charlotte versus Becky was amazing.
I mean, it always is. They're but phenomenal.
Becky's outfit, doing her little Scarlet Witch.
I've seen.
Do you know what this woman just said, Bill? I'm going to be honest. As a woman myself that has been through it.
No.
She said, I went ahead and had a baby.
And it got hotter.
I'm going to come back with the best body I've ever had. This woman has just been.
Looks insane. Looks insane.
Abs on abs. She looks ripped up. She is literally like, it's like false hope for all people. I don't mean that any offense to any all of us, but like, she has just come back and she went booty, booty, booty everywhere. It's the second time I've used that reference. And I should probably.
I mean, I saw the photos and Becky Lynch was hands down my favorite heading into the end of my wrestling. And honestly, kind of when she left, that's literally when I stopped watching.
Yeah, it was Money in the Bank. It was kind of funny. That was our last, like, one of our last, like, previews.
Wrestling, I'll get back in on that. But the fact that The Rock didn't show up, something's got to be up. Well, it has to be.
The rumor is, like, they thought he would be here for this coming WrestleMania. According to things, it was for promotion for the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
XFL gets delayed to 2022. So now they're thinking, or 2023. So now they're thinking he'll be at the one in Los Angeles, which makes more sense in some cases, but It's just a weird, strange road. And just to do all that, to not have just, like you said, a Zoom, a video package that he's speaking on in live time. Hey, everybody, sorry I couldn't be there. I'm on the set, promote his movie, or doing promotion for Red Notice in Australia,
anything,
wherever he is.
Anything.
And the fact they didn't do that, that's what made it, I think, worse. If they did that before the main event, I think fans would be like, okay, cool, that's what we're getting. But to get no live time Rock was bizarre.
We got him at a fucking house show, I don't know, six in Boston. Years ago.
Six, yeah, had to be. He interrupted Bo Dallas.
Yeah, which was great.
It was great.
It's just so odd.
It is, but hey, regardless if he was there or he wasn't, they showed a lot of his career. My wife got to see stuff she had never seen before, seen some of those early Rock things. She was entertained. He is the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. His promos are amazing. We will tweet this out. Follow at Pop Culture PD. But that is the definitive top 11, the podcaster's dozen of the Rock promos. Bill, it's hot on the streets. Everyone's seen you tweet about it. You've been all over the DSG. I have watched it silently like I do a lot of things. Big Mouth Season 5. Good Lord Almighty. The show. You called it one of the best return seasons, I believe.
Return to greatness seasons. It is the greatest return to greatness season ever. Because usually when a show dips, it never comes back up. Ever.
This show, I had to rewatch on the season 4 to realize how much I did not love season 4, and it was a little bizarre. This season does not miss. There is not an episode I said, oh, what are we doing here? There's not enough of my tickling the ivories guy up in the attic of Nick, but everything else, like this show.
Well, they don't have a lot of Coach Steve either. This
no, like, but it's oddly.
It's all Murray the Hormone, and it's un. That's pretty good. He is so good. Yeah. He is electric in the whole, not Will Arnett. That, I thought it was Will Arnett.
I thought he was Will
Arnett. Everybody thought he was Will Arnett.
I was literally sitting on my, I finally saw the finale, I think it was 2 days ago, and I was laying on my couch because I wake up at 4:30 for no reason recently, and I have to take a nap during the day, a little siesta. I'm like, I'm in Europe. And I was falling asleep to that show. And when he said that line, I literally thought, I personally never have looked at the cast outside of like who we are.
I figured it out probably like 3 years ago.
I really thought it was Will Arnett. So when he said that, I hysterically was laughing. And the fact that he said that being Nick Kroll in the show as Nick Kroll.
And they even played that off kind of well. He was like, we'll see how this goes. And I was like, yeah, we will.
I really don't have many complaints about this season. I thought they did a really good job.
I'd say the ending was okay. Everything else, like there were so many episodes where I had legit like, and the way they looked as puppets too. They looked phenomenal as puppets.
Bill, they gave you Santa's penis.
And balls.
And that was a throw-in. Sweaty balls. I just think if you like real lowbrow, if you grew up on Family Guy, South Park, and like
that. I would say this is a little more tied into the, like, they hit all of the classic teen emotions better than any show I've ever seen, because they obviously delve a little bit deeper into it. But they hit everything. The green-eyed monster stuff, that was like, I felt that. I felt that to my core. I felt that so much because that was me. Like,
a lot of hate, too. A lot of hate.
It was so good. And Nick Kroll's performance throughout, like, the him as the hormone monster, this, like, it was even a little, they even had a little less of him. But there was some, the hormone monstrous.
Yeah.
She had some stuff where I was just, like, dying. What's her name?
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, she might be my new Madeline Kahn. She is my everything. She is hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, yeah, she was out of her mind. This season, she was out of her mind. Like, the whole show was just, I think it's great too, because they're gradually, as they're getting a little bit older, as we're seeing it, what do you do when you get a little bit older? You get a little bit hornier. Like, that's just like a natural feel. Like, when you're a teenager, that's when, like, everything's just going wild. Sensory overload. You're putting things underneath your belt, you know, but
everything was funny, well thought out, well planned. The Missy storyline was good. Every storyline was great. It was a pure and utter delight.
Anything else you've been watching or checking out recently?
So our guys from Oh Yeah, who do our music, I just did a little teaser video for them for their song Lower Than You. Go check that out. It's Oh Yeah, OHYAH, period, on Spotify. And it's a delight.
Go check it out. Gotta love Oh Yeah. By the way, if you're not down with Christmas music before, now it's time to kick it in. I think next week, I want to see if I can pull this. It's going to be sometime in December, but for an open, I'm going to play you music, but I'm having a real beef with these bands that have like one hit, but then they turn their one hit into a Christmas song. I think it's straight garbage, right. And I'll explain it. We'll play some clips, and I want to see if you can name what the song has been retitled to. Because you'll clearly know the tune and be like, oh, that's a famous song called this. But when they turn it into a Christmas song, will you be able to name that title?
Yeah, no, thank you, but okay.
Yeah, a lot of, if you are a SiriusXM subscriber, there's so many Christmas channels now. There's like 15. It's amazing.
Oh, and not holiday related, but our guy Emerson wants to be on here allegedly again. Have we done appetizers? Have we ranked appetizers?
No.
I don't think so.
We haven't done a food in a while.
Let's get another fat on, plus Emerson, a fellow fat, and let's rank some appetizers.
All right. I like that. This week in the
Shared Gooniverse.
Not really sure. Did you send a doc? Because I have no idea. I know that.
I did.
You did? Okay. I did Dork. An email,
but it had it in there.
Billy. Dork.
What?
Not really sure.
What the hell are you doing?
I literally must have clicked our YouTube where it's live from earlier. That's weird.
Yeah, I hate hearing myself. That was awful. I think that changed my mind. Did hockey equipment, and they also talked Tiger King. I believe Dork is doing...
Did.
They did Ghostbusters.
Yep, Afterlife, yep.
Afterlife, ding. And then Magen Goo, of course, did the 1989 classic Aliens. TLDR talked books. They also went on to Dork last week, I believe, for a draft. Mac and whatever it is, same thing. They always do the same topics. They're stealing shit. Yeah.
But yeah, we can. You tell me. I said that in the chat. One time, just a little behind the scenes, I said, hey, Bill, what about this? They mentioned that in the chat. I don't give a goddamn if they did it.
Well, that's why I put the apps on the ether. I want to claim it. I want to my germs it. I want to be like, this. That was us.
All right. I feel you. Okay. So I'm just going to, every time I have an idea, I'm just going to put it in there and I'm going to direct it towards you.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. And yeah. So what did they do?
They did a draft of X-Men, which was great. And then I actually was on Change My Mind where I won their poll because I'm a winner. And it was drafting 1999 movies. And then Hot Guys on Hawkeye, I believe, debuts this week. Right?
Is that the name of that podcast?
Yeah, but Fryer's not on it.
Well, Fryer's why is he the Hawkeye? Is that what?
I don't think he's probably the best looking. I have to give it to him.
But isn't Wes on the podcast?
He is.
So not feeling Wes is what you're saying. Wow! I'm, all right. Well, and let me just ask: how would Goo feel about you saying these things?
I mean. Joe says that his handsome hunk in crime is not me when he does podcasts. It's Fryer. So I've tipped my cap. Fryer isn't a smart gentleman, even though he went to Northwestern, but he's a handsome man.
Okay. So he's a dumb, good-looking man.
Yeah.
Okay. But wait, is that really the name of that podcast that they're doing for Hawkeye?
Yes. I actually think it's great.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does not. That's why I like it.
This one is, they finally, I think, have jumped the shark on the titles. Like, that one literally doesn't make any sense to me.
No, but I like it.
And I don't know if it's going to help in the searchability, but we'll find out.
It's Hot Guys on Hawkeye, and it's just called Hawkeye, right?
Well, the name of the show is called Hawkeye, but Hot Guys on Hot Guys.
And I think it's spelled because I made the graphic hot, like H-A-W-T.
Credit.
All right. And I think we have Streamers, Doc, Backcracker, Shine Time, and Arvandi. I think that's everybody.
Yeah.
I've heard it both ways. Sorry.
Oh, I've heard about that podcast. I believe they review Psych episodes one by one. And last week, caught a little bit of that movie on the old cock and then tuned in for a few minutes of the podcast between Dr. Joe and the less good-looking guy, I guess, in the DSG,
it's true.
Billy D. And it was good. So check out that podcast. I've heard it both ways. You can get that wherever you listen to your podcast as well. And you guys be doing that on Thursdays. But I'm assuming you're not doing it on Thanksgiving.
No, we figured we're doing it one night this week, either Wednesday or Thursday, so I got to ask Joe.
You should just do it on Thanksgiving, just in the middle of dinner.
He has a kid, but as you know, with wife and child, it's probably difficult to pull off.
No, everything is difficult to pull off. You just do it. You just literally just tell him to plop his laptop down and just start going. But that'll do it here for this program. Thank you guys so much. Follow him at BillyYee2411. Check out that OnlyFans. I'm at Jason D. Rossi. Bill, you probably really could get down on the OnlyFans. You probably could like just do like a toe thing. Something with your toe. Yeah. Dip your toe in mayonnaise.
I was thinking about doing some of that Simpsons stuff, just like animating an OnlyFans and being like, yeah, what's your fantasy? But then I like the messages you might get.
Oh, they're going to be... Bill, just think about 90% of women and what the DMs look like. Just being
and alive. Be a regular human. Yeah.
Just being alive. Like, I remember back in the day, a sidebar, like, Lucy used to just show me some of the stuff that people would just randomly
DM. Oh, good Lord. No
and she
way.
Would just be, like, feeling good about the Celtics this year. Or, like, comment something about, like, the morning show at EI at the time. And literally, she'd be like, this is what I got.
Guess who I just got a text from about this podcast?
Fryer.
No.
Emerson.
No.
Oh, Kaufman.
Yeah.
Because I tweeted saying they were even going to – you just proved your point. We'll end the podcast on this. You just proved your point that if he needs to know everything about everything and everything. So I just mentioned even an Adam Kaufman name drop an hour ago, and here he is creeping in. Oh, Billy.
Oh, gotta love it.
Go do a video with him. All right, we're out of here. We'll be back next week with more fun shenanigans. Enjoy your Thanksgiving or wherever you're listening to this. Enjoy it. Be nice to other people. Be kind. Bill, leave the fine folks with a little something.
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.